Will you turn with me this evening to 2 Samuel? 2 Samuel, and tonight we're in chapter number 5. 2 Samuel, chapter number 5. It's good to see you tonight. We welcome you in the Saviour's precious and worthy name. 2 Samuel, chapter 5. Excuse me, and it's verse number 17 is our opening verse tonight. And if you've been with us, you'll know that our subject over the week has been Sounds from Heaven. And on Monday night we thought about the sound of a sovereign speaking, the voice of the Lord that John heard as he was on the Isle of Patmos, that sound of the Lord's voice like unto many waters. And then on Tuesday night we thought about the sound that came from heaven on the day of Pentecost, the sound as of a rushing mighty wind, the sound of the Spirit filling his people. Then last night we thought about the sound of abundance of rain, the sound of a spiritual awakening. And tonight we're thinking about another sound that came from heaven, and our subject for tonight, just simply and briefly, the sound of the saints overcoming. And we're in 2 Samuel chapter number 5, reading from verse 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there, and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord and said, And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when thou hearest a sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until they come to Gazer. We'll just end our reading there at the end of the chapter, and we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his precious and infallible word. These were changing days for the nation of Israel. They were changing days as well for God's servant David. The Lord had largely rejected Saul from being king because of Saul's pride and bitter and covetous spirit and his jealousy and this fact that his heart was given to idolatry and self-seeking. The Lord would raise up another, a man after his own heart, and he found in the new king, David, the shepherd boy, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And David has just been anointed king over the Israelite people. And it wasn't long before the Philistines, the arch enemies of Israel, heard about this tremendous event in the history of the nation of Israel. And of course, the Philistines were arch enemies of the Israelites, and of course they had run-ins with David as well. Several years previous, whenever David was just a teenager, he had taken out Goliath, the Philistine giant. So they had, in a sense, a vendetta to settle, not just with Israel, but a personal vendetta, an old score that they wanted to settle with David. And whenever the Lord blesses you as an individual, as he has blessed David, the attack of the enemy won't be far away. And in the portion we've read together, there's a twin attack. The Philistines come up against the Israelites in verse 19, and then again in verse 22, there's another attack. And so whenever we get one victory, We always need to be on our guard because the enemy is never far away. And the Christian life is a life of battles, one battle after another. Some battles we win, some battles we lose. But ultimately we know that we will win the war. We know that we're on the victory side, and we know that the Lord has overcome on our behalf. But three simple things that I want you to notice tonight as we consider this. Verse 24, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. The sound of the saints overcoming. This is a sound of victory in the camp of the Israelites, a sound that David would hear, a going in the tops of the mulberry trees. And the word going there could also be translated the sound of a marching. And it's really speaking of the heavenly hosts taking the field and giving to God's servants, the saints of God, the victory, that overcoming spirit. Three simple things I want you to notice in verse number 22, what we could describe as hell's attack. Hell's attack, the attack of the enemy. The Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. This was a second attack. David has got the victory over the Philistines, but that doesn't mean that David can rest on his laurels and think that there's never going to be any more battles, because the Philistines come up yet again. And some of us in the Christian life have discovered that whenever you feel that you've got maybe a level of victory over a certain sin or trial or temptation in your life, and the Lord gives you a great deliverance, a real answer to prayer, that very often we're surprised whenever the enemy again comes in like a flood. And that can discourage us, and that can cast us down, because we feel that when are the attacks of the enemy ever going to end? And the enemy has come up again. The first battle was won by the sword, but the second battle, the second victory, will be won by the Spirit of the Lord. Now you'll consider something of the nature of this attack. Look what it says in verse 22. The Philistines came up yet again. So it's a second attack, and it says they spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. They spread themselves. Right across this valley that David looks out over, he sees that the Philistines have spread themselves from one side of it to the other. Literally, the Philistines could be seen on every hand, and the attack that they were experiencing was a widespread attack. Maybe the Philistines have changed their tactics, and they have spread themselves. And I believe tonight, with all of my heart, that in these days in which we're living, as the enemy comes in like a flood and all of the forces of hell and of darkness and principalities and powers set themselves against the church, that we see they have spread themselves perhaps more widely than ever. There's scarcely any aspect of society or of the church or even in the lives of God's people, but the enemy is there and he spread himself widely. It seems that every hand we turn to, everything that we see, has all of the hallmarks of the enemy coming in like a flood in these days in which we are living. Hell's attack against the child of God, against the church of Jesus Christ in these days is widespread. They have spread themselves out wide, and they come at us from within, and the attacks as well come from without. And so this is a very real battle that David is about to face. And maybe tonight you look at your life, you look at your situation, you think about your home life, your personal life, all of the battles that you face. We think about the church as well. And it seems that the enemy has just spread himself so widely that it's almost as if we can't get away from him. It's in the thought life. It's in our public life. It's in the family life. It's in our private life. It's in church life. It's in the workplace. Wherever we are, it seems that the enemy is seeking to come in like a flood on every single hand. So the nature of the attack, they spread themselves in the valley. And as well, we can consider the timing of this attack. As we've said already, David has just been anointed king. Not only that, but David and the Israelites have smote them in verse number 20 before. So he's coming out of a time of great blessing, victory, anointing, exaltation. God has honored him. God has exalted him in a nation. And suddenly the enemy comes in again. But verse 21 is an interesting verse. It says that after David had smote the Philistines and broken forth upon their enemies, it says in verse 21, and there they left their images. The Philistines fled, but they left all of their images behind. And David and his men burned them. And we could apply that text of Scripture in so many ways. We think about our own lives. We think about how the Lord has come in and saved us. But yet so often there's images that we see before us. And they're from the devil, they're from the enemy. And we need to destroy them in our lives. That's the first thing that David did. He didn't want anything of the enemy to be left before his eyes. The psalmist said, I will set no evil thing before mine eyes. And so anything that would remind him of the Philistines, it had to be destroyed, it had to be burned. And I believe that because of that, the devil himself was angry. And he wanted to come in again and attack the Israelite people. So hell's attack. You'll notice, secondly, David's prayer, verse 23. And when David inquired of the Lord, David sought the Lord. He didn't rest on his laurels and say like Samson, well, I'll just go out as at other times. He didn't say, well, surely God has given me the victory before, and it's just a matter of going out and doing exactly the same thing again. But David earnestly inquired of the Lord. He has learned as a young man out there in the fields that every trial that he faces, and any battle that he faces, and any time there's temptation and the enemy comes in like a flood, the first thing that he has to do, inquire of the Lord. Seek the Lord. Get a word from the Lord. Past victories are not sufficient. So we see here David's sensitivity. He's not going to take one step without the Lord. And folks, tonight, if we give up in prayer, and it's a very real temptation even to do that, and to try to take the battle into our own hands and fight the battle in the flesh, and just to go simply and lift the sword again and to go ram-stam and try and fight the battles ourselves. But David was sensitive. He's not going to take a step without the Lord. If we go out and we take a step without the Lord, we're sure to meet with defeat and discouragement. Remember Lot and Abram, whenever there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle, the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And Abram said to Lot, well, you go out and choose some land. Whatever way you go, I'll go the opposite way. Is not the whole land before us? And without prayer, without seeking the Lord, Lot lifted up his eyes, saw the plains of Sodom, that they were good and they were well watered. And the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life all went before prayer. And he made this decision that would have a tremendous effect for bad and ill upon his family. And we see David's prayer here. It speaks of sensitivity. It speaks as well of subordination, submission to the will of God for his life. He's asking the Lord for guidance. Lord, what will you have me to do? In other words, he's saying, Lord, I don't want to make a decision without you. I don't want to rest on my own understanding. I don't want to try and do something that would seem like a good idea in my eyes. Lord, I want to submit to you and whatever your will is. If you want me to pursue them, I'll pursue them. If you want me to do something else, I'll do something else. So he's trusting only in God's leading. There's supplication. He inquired of the Lord. He sought the Lord. He asked at the throne of grace what the Lord would have him to do. So before he would do anything, he seeks the Lord. Hell's attack results in David's prayer. And prayer is the battle. We've that wonderful picture there in Exodus chapter 17, whenever you had Moses on the top of the mountain, and Israel and Amalek are fighting down below in the valley of Rephidim. And Moses stands there with the rod of God in his hand, and as he lifts up that rod and lifts up his hands before the people and before heaven, Israel prevail. And of course he grows weary and he grows tired, so they take him and they set him on a big stone, and Aaron comes along. Aaron was the priest. And then Hur comes along, and Hur lifts up the hands of Moses as well, and they steady his hands, and the battle is won or lost in the place of prayer. And of course, in that, Moses is a great type of our intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's entered into Mount Zion itself and ever lives to make intercession for us. Matthew Henry says, when God intends great mercy for his people, he first of all sets them a praying. And you can almost sense here in verse 23 that there's going to be victory because David has put the Lord first. He submitted himself to the Lord. He's given himself to the Lord. He surrendered himself to the Lord. He inquires of the Lord. And then you have David's answer. David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees, and let it be, when thou hearest the sound of the going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. So there's heaven's answer. What's David to do? Lord, what do you want me to do here? How do I deal with this battle? How do I get the victory here? How do I deal with this problem that's come into my life and my home and into my nation? And the Lord says, compass them behind. Now, that wasn't what the Lord said in the first battle. The first time the Lord says, go up, for I will doubtless deliver them into thy hand. Then the second time he says, thou shalt not go up, but compass them behind. And sometimes we can look at things that have happened before and we try to copy things that other people have done and it's worked for them, but we need something fresh from the Lord. God's got a new thing oftentimes that he wants us to do. And this time he says, don't go up, but compass them behind. And so there's not often a blueprint sometimes for victory. And then he says to David, wait. Compass them behind. In verse 24, wait, or as it says there, let it be. Just wait. Give yourself, David, to waiting in the presence of God. Let it be. And just wait. And wait for a sound from heaven. Whenever you hear a going, sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, then shalt thou bestir thyself. Literally, David, whenever you hear the sound of wind coming and blowing in the tops of the mulberry trees, and you hear the rustling of the leaves and the trees begin to sway, he says, that's a sign. This really is a precursor to Pentecost in a sense, because in the same sense there, the disciples were waiting in the presence of the Lord. They were like David, they were seeking the face of God. And they weren't to go out into the battle of evangelism and witnessing for the Lord until that sound as if a rushing mighty wind came. And this again is speaking of the wind of God, the wind of God's Spirit. And the word going there, as we said a little bit earlier, speaks of marching. And really this is showing us that the battle is not ours, but the battle is the Lord's. And whenever we feel overwhelmed and we feel tired, as undoubtedly David did, he's defeated the Philistines, but straight away they come back in again. He's tired, he's weary, he's exhausted. He just doesn't feel that there's any fight perhaps left in him. So he gives himself to prayer. The Lord tells him to wait. And the Lord says, David, you're going to hear the sound of marching. The heavenly hosts, God coming and God taking the field. And God will go out before you. You compass them in behind and just let the Lord go out before you. Then shalt thou bestir thyself. Whenever you hear the sound, that's God going out and God's taking the field. And then stir yourself up. That's the time then to arouse yourself to action. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the hosts of the Philistines. And the wonderful thing is that it says in verse 25, and David did so as the Lord commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou comest to Gazer. And we trust that the Lord will enable us to hear again the voice of the Lord and to know the promptings and the leadings tonight of God's Spirit as we seek his face in prayer. And the Lord will enable us to wait on in his presence. And then whenever the Lord speaks, it will follow him and will be obedient and do whatever the Lord would have us to do, and prove that the Lord does give the victory to those who wait and trust in him. So we trust that the Lord will lead us on now in the place of prayer. That's why we're here, and we want to make the most of our prayer time this evening. We haven't really been giving any special subjects for each night of prayer. We've done that in times past. Sometimes we pray for the youth work maybe a night, and then another night maybe pray for those that aren't so well. Another night pray for our families. But I just want you to pray as you feel led. And of course, there are many needs. There are those ones we've mentioned already. Then next week, we're going to Ballybogey. We need to pray for that. And to pray for little Chloe again. Just keep her before the Lord. And for the work of the church and all of the different things. But just tonight, whatever concerns you, whatever level of attack that you feel, just commit that to the Lord. Maybe you've had a difficult day, or maybe tonight you come to the prayer meeting and you're weary a little bit, but just tell the Lord about that. Whether you pray publicly or whether you pray privately and inaudibly, just make sure that you pray and that you receive a blessing and that you yourself get through to the Lord. So we'll give ourselves now to prayer and to seeking the Lord, and let's just wait on in God's presence. As many as possible tonight taking part, maybe that you haven't prayed yet this week in our meetings, we'd love to hear your voice. We'll support you and pray with you. It's not a competition to see who can pray the loudest or the longest or anything like that. So feel at liberty to pray and to seek the Lord. We want to hear you getting involved in the prayer meeting.